Hello, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you have joined us here today for this online service. And I would also like to wish you all a happy Father's Day. I would like to acknowledge for a moment our fathers, or those who may have played the role of father in our life, and to acknowledge you fathers who are listening to this, and to tell you that yes, indeed, you have made a difference in the lives of your children, and because of that, you have made a difference in this world. So happy Father's Day to you. We normally begin our service when we are together in person by saying good morning to the people that are sitting near us. And so what I invite you to do right now is to just close your eyes for a moment, and if you attend our services, to imagine some of the people that sit around you. And if you don't normally attend our services, just to imagine in your mind's eye some of those people that you love and you care about. And so right now, just to send them some of your love, to wrap them in that energy of love and of care, and to actually see them standing in their own authentic power and in their own wholeness. And to know that as you are doing that, you are actually sending them a blessing, because we are actually all connected to each other in this energetic field. And to also recognize that there are people who are watching this who are sending you their love and seeing you stand in your own authentic power and wholeness and sending you a blessing. And so thank you for that. And so I'd like to begin our service today by sharing with you our mission statement. It says, "We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world." So that's what we're up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are waking up to the fact that that divine presence lives within us. That divine presence that expresses itself in and through everything in this physical universe expresses itself within us. And some of the ways that it expresses within us are as peace and as love, as our own authentic power and the truth of our wholeness. Because what happens is as we come to recognize that that is always within us, regardless of what's going on in the world or what's going on in our lives, that it puts us in a place of power. It puts us in a place of choice instead of being in a place of reaction. Because then when the world is not reflecting to us, say, peace or love, we stop and remember that, yes, it is right here within me. And as we do that, we are actually able to bring that love or that peace forward into the world, and it transforms what's going on. It transforms not only that conversation and that relationship, but it acts as a ripple effect that goes out into the world, because, like I said, we are all connected to each other, connected to everything, and part of the whole of things. And so I say thank you to each and every single one of you for saying yes to the call of your own spirit, to be walking this spiritual path and to be bringing that divine presence into this world in a way that is absolutely beneficial. And so I'm going to invite our practitioner, Ray Bunch, to come forward. He's going to lead us in an evocation as we evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is always right where we are, and do a reading for us. And so in the meantime, I invite you to just begin to settle into yourself, into that place of silence within you, that place of stillness, that place within you that is unaffected by the material world, that is just being itself.
Thank you. I just want to invite you to join me in an invocation as we continue to collect our separate movements, our parts that move around us, reach out into the world and do things. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a doctor, whatever. Let all that stuff come to the center right here with us now. As we continue to access our spiritual being, we allow our energy to not only go up, but go down. For it is truly up and down that we're seeking here. So let it go down into the earth, into the place where most of our body was created from, the minerals and more things than I can name. And just let go of all the anxieties and all the worries and all the troubles in life that don't need to be handled right this second. Just let them go down into the earth. Feel your body weight. Now bring yourself back up and allow yourself to go up and out and up 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 and up. Out into the unknown. Out into the quantum field of possibilities. Into the place where it hasn't been discovered yet. But we know with absolute faith that it's there. We know the perfection, the beauty, and the oneness of it. I feel this energy and this source in my life because it is my life, because I was born from it. I live in it, and it lives through me. And as I know that for me, I know that for you and every human being and every critter and creature and plant and every particle of this world is so. So just stop for a moment. Embrace this place. And listen. Learn to listen here. So I bless this service. I bless this time together that we have. And one of the blessings we have is all the video stuff nowadays. This time is any time, which is the greatest time to exist in. I bless Reverend Jennifer Spear for her contribution to this service, for her willingness to open up and be a channel, to be able to allow herself to expand and grow right in front of us. It is a thrilling experience to have a leader like that. I bless all of the congregation. I bless all of the people that are in the world that have ways of celebrating spirit. And I just know that this time is important, and the fact that we're here right now, right here in this moment doing it, it's our lovely opportunity to express who we are. So I bless this and I let it go, and I know that it is true. And I just ask you to join me in saying, amen, and so it is. Thank you. I found this reading this week on an email from Home Office, which is the hub of Centers for Spiritual Living. That's where all the stuff takes place, I guess. So it's really It's really important for me to explain to you some of the reasons I want to read this email or this particular statement. And this is just personal stuff for me, but it's very hard for me sometimes to belong to a philosophy where people go around saying just everything's perfect, everything's exactly the way it should be, and everything is just wonderful. And I often would say to people, yeah, and if I hit you on the toe with a hammer, you would get out of that part. So this is a confirmation for me that I was talking in some frame of intelligence. It is a popular belief that those that practice the science of mind are a class of people who declare that everything is perfect, when, as a matter of fact, everything in the objective experience of the race is not perfect, and indeed is far from being perfect. This popular idea of the practice of science, of spiritual science, is entirely a misconception. A religious scientist is not one who assures himself that wrong is right, that evil is good, that limitation is freedom, that bondage is liberty, or that sickness is health. They do not claim that our objective experience is an illusion. But they do make this claim, that behind the phenomenon of being human and material existence, behind the slow and present process of evolution, there is, as Emerson stated, one mind common to all people. They claim, meaning the scientists claim, they claim that this mind is perfect and that they have access to this mind. I said this to a friend of mine and he says, but it's still judgment. I says, well, I don't think we mean it in the way of judgment. Well, it's still judgment. I says, well, wait a minute. So I struggled with that a little bit. And I looked up on the internet the word discernment. And one of the definitions of discernment is perception in the absence of judgment, with the view of obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. So what they're saying here is we've got to be able to see it and bring spirit to it, mm-hmm, with discernment. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray Bunch. And so Home Office of Centers for Spiritual Living actually sent out a letter from our spiritual leader, Edward Viljoen, that I would like to share with you. It says, Black Lives Matter, a message from Dr. Edward Viljoen, spiritual leader. Centers for Spiritual Living stands with people all around the world who are advocating for justice, equity, inclusion, and peace. We are motivated by our vision of a world that works for everyone. Therefore, we affirm with the people of the world that Black Lives Matter. Not only do Black Lives Matter, but according to our teaching, they are sacred. We have confidence that the momentum of support from individuals along with spiritual and secular organizations is more than a fleeting moment, but rather the heralding of lasting change. We have confidence that a new era of willingness to engage in the inner work that leads to the end of racism in the world has begun. We have confidence that the unifying cry of the global heart, that Black Lives Matter, has struck a note of urgency in all who hear it. Above all, we have confidence that the living spirit Almighty is working through us to bring our stated belief in oneness into form, in the social, political, judicial, spiritual, and economic realms, and most importantly, in our hearts. The recent tragic loss of black lives in the United States and other countries due to police violence and the myriad inequities that have resurfaced have revealed that our world is still catching up to the vision of a world that works for everyone. We have been called to be brave enough to examine how society can be out of step with its values and how we, as individuals, can be out of step with our spiritual values. One of the values of Centers for Spiritual Living is love as the self-givingness of the divine to all creation, expressing through and as compassion, caring, mutual respect, and kindness. Our organization's purpose is to awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. What can be more spiritually magnificent than to say a full-hearted yes to this upwelling of affirmation of the sacredness of black lives? We invite you to stand with Centers for Spiritual Living and the people of the world by affirming with us that black lives matter, so that we may demonstrate the values of our teaching and embrace the emerging universal consciousness of oneness. Let us therefore light the candle of love, human kindness, forgiveness, and understanding in our soul, and let it shine brightly. Let us not peer into the darkness, troubled and concerned because it is so foreboding and unknown. Rather, let us remain steadfast in the radiance of the spiritual light of truth within ourselves. Let us stand guard so that the winds of malice, cross-purpose, ignorance, and misunderstanding will not blow out the light. Let us so live each day that the light from our candle of spiritual knowledge will forever be clear and understood, not only by ourselves, but by all with whom we come in contact with. I think that we are in the midst of a great evolution right now, in our culture, in this human race, and as an organization of Centers for Spiritual Living. Centers for Spiritual Living is and has always been a prayer-centered organization and a prayer-centered philosophy. And in the past, as an organization, we have never gotten physically involved in the world of effect and what's going on. We have never gotten physically involved in social causes. Because after all, we say, we do our work in consciousness. But there is a saying, a catchphrase at Centers for Spiritual Living, which has always been, and that is to treat and move your feet. That means then that we do the work in consciousness. We do the work in our thinking and in our believing and in our focus. We know the truth with a capital T. And then we physically move in the direction of what it is that we want to experience. We do the things that support the fruition of that thing it is that we want. And so I'd like to share a study with you, an experiment with you. It says, in a study on germinating seeds done by Dr. Franklin Lohr, a Presbyterian minister and scientist, the objective was to see in a controlled experiment what effect prayer had over living and seeming non-living matter. In one experiment, they took three pans of various types of seed. One was the control pan. One pan received positive prayer, and the other received negative prayer. Time after time, the result indicated that prayer helped speed germination and produced more vigorous plants. Prayers of negation actually halted germination in some plants and suppressed growth in others. In another experiment, two bottles of spring water were purchased. One container was used as a control, receiving no prayer. a group prayed over the second for the second. The water was then used on pans of corn seeds layered in cotton, with one pan receiving the prayer water and the other receiving the control water. The pan receiving the prayer water sprouted a day earlier than the seeds in the other pan. The prayer seeds had a higher germination and growth rate. The experiment was repeated with the same results each time. That is amazing, is it not? The effect of prayer on seeds. But what I want you to notice also, they didn't do the prayer over those seeds or over that water and then put it in a dark closet. They continued to water those seeds. They continued to give those seeds sunlight and the things that they need. They did the prayer work, they did the treating, and then moved their feet to what it was that they needed to do in order to get the result that they wanted to have. So what that says to me is, just as an example, say that you want to have a relationship. What that means is that you don't sit down and do your prayer and then sit on the couch and not do anything. It means you do your prayer and then you get up and you brush your teeth and you comb your hair and you actually go out into the world where your chances of meeting people are going to happen, with the expectation that you are going to meet a fabulous person so that you can have that relationship. You do the prayer work and then you do the physical actions that take you in the direction of what it is that you want. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, says, "Treatment is not for the purpose of making things happen. It is to provide within ourselves an avenue through which they may happen. Prayer changes our consciousness. Prayer changes our expectations. Prayer changes how we look at things. Prayer changes what we do. And as you see with that seed experiment, prayer changes conditions. What happens, though, sometimes is, as metaphysicians, as members of Centers for Spiritual Living or Living Beyond Limits, we sometimes get stuck. Because after all, Ernest Holmes says, in treating, we need to turn entirely away from the condition. What happens as a result of that belief and hearing that is sometimes then we don't actually look at what's happening in the world. We don't look at the problem, or we pretend that the problem isn't really there, or that the problem isn't really real. We go into denial. But let me ask you this. If there was a child drowning in a pool in front of you, would you do that kind of denial and say, drowning isn't happening, drowning isn't real, this child isn't really in the water? Or would you affirm what you know, that drowning isn't a necessity, that being in that water isn't permanent and unchanging, and then jump in and save that child? You would jump in and save that child. And the chances are you wouldn't even do the prayer beforehand, because you already know that drowning is not a necessity, and you already know that being in that water is not permanent and unchanging. But when we don't know that part of a situation, that's when we need to do the treatment work. But you notice that Ernest Holmes said, in treating, we turn entirely away from the condition. In doing affirmative prayer, we turn entirely away from the condition. I'm going to read this to you, what he says, so that you can see the context of this. He says, "We cannot be too insistent on this all-important point. In treating, we must turn entirely away from the condition." And he goes on to say, "The proper kind of denial is based upon the recognition that in reality, there is no limitation. A good treatment is always filled with the recognition of the presence of God or good. This automatically wipes out any picture of undesirable conditions. For the Spirit of God is a law of elimination and of obliteration to everything that is unlike itself. Knowing the truth eliminates the lesser. Knowing the greater, the lesser simply dissipates and dissolves. In spiritual mind treatment, we are recognizing and knowing that the infinity of God and all possibilities are already present in that situation, in that circumstance, in whatever it is that we're treating about. Spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer is recognizing that wholeness already is, that peace already is, that order and balance and perfection are already present as an aspect and a part of whatever that situation is, recognizing that the power of God is already there and that love is already present. We are recognizing that truth within a person or a situation, the truth that is back of, that is in and through, but isn't seen yet. That creates an avenue for that to come into this physical world in a real way. And so the title of my talk today is I Can See Clearly Now. And I'm talking about when there is a problem, either in our own individual lives or in the world, we can acknowledge that it is a fact, it is something that is actually happening, but it is not a necessity. The child is in the water, it's a fact. The child is starting to drown, it's a fact, but it's not a necessity. We recognize that it's not an unchanging reality. God and all that God is the only unchanging reality. We affirm the truth, and that creates that avenue for it to come into the world. Ernest Holmes says dis-ease or disharmony is a fact, but it's not a truth. It's an experience, but it's not reality with a capital R. And so as we're living in this physical world, it's really easy to do one of two things. It's really easy to get so focused on the problem and how big it is, and how bad it is, and how horrible it is, and how overwhelming it is, and as a result of that, we feel hopeless. Or the second thing is just to deny that there is a problem at all, or that the problem doesn't affect us, or that we do not have a role to play, that we play in it, or in the solution of it. But at Centers for Spiritual Living, we teach law and love. We teach love and law. The law responds to our knowing the truth. The law responds to what it is we believe at the most at the depths of our being, what we most believe. Ernest Holmes says, in prayer, we're lifting our mentality to a place where our vision becomes adjusted to a new viewpoint, adjusting our experience to a fundamental harmony that exists in the universe. We take our minds there in prayer, and then we move from there out into the world. So we teach love and law. Our love allows us to meet another person where they are. Our love allows us to actually see a person. It allows us to see the sickness, or to see the pain, or to see the unfairness that a person is experiencing. It allows us to see that, and it allows our heart to open and for us to actually be with that person in our humanity. And Ernest Holmes says, the only guarantee of our divinity is in our expression of our humanity. So it actually allows us to see them. Our love allows us to come then from a place of kindness. The love allows us to have compassion. The love allows us to say, I care. Love opens our hearts to others and to the experience that other people are having. still while knowing that the experience they're having is not permanent. It's not necessary. It's not unchanging. It's a fact, but it's not ultimate reality. It's a fact, but it's not a necessity. I know that every single one of us wants to have influence over our own lives and what isn't working. We would love to have influence over the world and what isn't working. We want to be part of the solution, and for sure we don't want to be part of the problem. So we are called to do the work in consciousness. We are being called to know the truth with a capital T. We are called to bring love into this world, to make love active and present, and we are called to know that love is present, that love is active in this world, and that it is making itself known right now in this moment. That's the truth that we know. We know the truth that each and every single person is an expression of wholeness itself, is an expression of authentic power itself. We know that about each and every single person in the world. We know that infinite creativity and intelligence is guiding each and every one of us in making the changes that are necessary, the changes that create a world that's working for everyone. And we know that love rules, and that love overcomes everything that is unlike it. We are called to treat and to move our feet. So we move our feet toward what we want, toward peace, and toward inclusion, and toward love, and toward oneness, and toward the good. And that doesn't mean that you can't say no to what it is that you don't want. But in our no, we are being led by something higher. You can say no and be against injustice, but the thing that is actually leading you is the desire for inclusion. It's a higher vision. You can say no because love is what's leading you. In your no, you can say no all the while knowing the wholeness of each and every person. You can say no all the while knowing balance and harmony and good are unfolding now. As we stand in that consciousness of knowing, it's like bringing a light into the room. It changes the way things unfold. Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And so my invitation to you this week is to know that we are headed in the right direction as a culture, as humanity, as being guided in our own lives, that we are heading in the right direction right now. And to acknowledge what is happening in the world, and to meet it with an open heart, to meet it with your compassion, to meet it with your love, so that you might actually see people, so that you might actually see your brothers and sisters that we are sharing this planet with, and be there with them in your own tender heart. We are being called to know that this, right now, what we're going through, is part of the birthing pains of bringing something new into this world. We're being called to heed that call and treat and to move our feet, to pray and to affirm, because we need your prayers. We need your affirmation. We need your consciousness of seeing this evolve and unfold into this heavenly realm where we're headed. We're being called to be part of the solution. And as we do that, we will absolutely be experiencing the change we wish to see in the world. And so again, I say thank you so much for heeding the call of your own spirit, to be walking this path and saying yes to that divine call within yourself to be a beneficial presence in this world, to be a healing agent, to be part of the solution. Blessings to each and every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so right now, I just say what an absolute blessing it is to be in recognition of this infinite presence and power. To know that what is happening in the world is momentary. What is happening in the world is not solid, but that it is changing. And what is eternal and unchanging is love. What is eternal and unchanging is infinite potential, is boundless good, is this life force energy, and that it is unfolding itself right now as this most heavenly realm. For in this realm is all peace and all power and all harmony and all balance, all inclusion and oneness and love. And so we embody each and every single one of these qualities, each and every single one of them. But today, as we recognize that these qualities already exist within us, and we see and we notice that those same qualities also exist in every single person on this planet, our recognition of that fact fans that flame and enables them to come forward in a greater way into this world. And so we see harmony unfolding itself, and we see inclusion and equity and fairness and brotherhood and oneness. And as we do that, we are inviting that forward all around us. And so we rest in that vision, and we rest in that knowing. And I rest in knowing that the law always responds to our belief and to our acceptance. And so today, in absolute faith, I affirm that this is happening right now. And so I release this prayer into that creative law of the universe, knowing that it is absolutely already unfolding itself. What a blessing it is to participate in this and to be witness to this in today's world. And so I release this prayer and I say, and so it is. Thank you very much. And so thank you so much for joining us here online. We're so happy to have you with us. So happy that you are a part of this evolutionary impulse of the divine unfolding in this world. I would like to let you know that we are beginning a class on July 28th. It's going to be for 4 weeks on Tuesday nights on Zoom at 7 p.m. It is a class called What's Mine to Do? And it is a class about racism so that we might move into that place of compassion within ourselves. It's a class about privilege, so that we might look at what is our responsibility and how do we play a role in this. And as a class about becoming the best allies that we can be to our sisters and brothers of color in this world. And so you can sign up for that class by emailing livingbeyondlimitscsl@gmail.com and let me know that you intend to take it, because there will be pre-class videos to watch and exercises to do before we get together. The class is free. We would love to have you join us for that. Also, to let you know, on Thursday nights, we are having a Zoom call every Thursday night, which is about getting together and doing spiritual practice and connecting with each other and being in the company of each other, because even though we have not been meeting in person for these past months already, we are still connected to each other. We are still part of this community of Living Beyond Limits, and when we get to be together and see each other and share and talk with each other, it just reignites that and allows us to experience that connection in a felt way again. And so I invite you to join us for that. We're having a really good time on it. I would like to thank you for your continued financial support of Living Beyond Limits. It is allowing us to stay afloat while we go through this time. We absolutely have the intention of getting back together. I will let you know as soon as I know when that's going to be happening. But in the meantime, thank you for your support. I would also like to let you know that we still are doing Ministry of Prayer. So if you have a prayer request, anything that you would like us to support you in knowing and moving into, you can email us at that address that I gave you, or you can text or call or email Barbara Conant, our practitioner, if you have her information, and she will forward that to the other practitioners and to me, the minister, and we are happy to hold you in prayer for the following week. And so until next Thursday, if you're on Zoom, or until next week here, have a blessed week. I know that you are absolutely being a beneficial presence in this world, and I will see you soon. Blessings to you.